that say she's getting waterlogged.
You are listening to the Grease Man Show. Please turn off all vibrating electrical devices and return your pants to their full upright position.
Yes, we do need a sense of decorum.
Big Dave, 69,
W-A-P-E. Hit it like a Cheshire cat.
W-A-P-E's Grease Man. The 1978 National Pop Music Medium Market Morning Personality of the Year.
77.
Grease does it again in 1979. A national survey was sent to radio stations all over the U.S. and Canada, bar none. The competition included morning men from cities the size of New York and Chicago to Savannah and Daytona. The best morning man, by all votes compiled according to Fred Magazine in California, the Grease Man. Grease shares the honors with Dr. Donald D. Rose of KFRC in San Francisco on the Rock of the South.
Let me wind her up. Aye. Now you hear that ticking there? That means big bucks. That means for as long as that clock ticks, a dollar a minute from the Big Ape. I know just what it feels like to sing like that to somebody. Because I used to feel that way about her. And it's funny, when you really love someone, you are so fascinated by everything about them. I remember one morning she lay there sleeping. It was a morning just such as this, delightfully brisk, so she had the covers up around her little neck. And the sky was blue and the light came through the early morning. The early morning light came through the window and caressed her face as she lay there. And I watched her, her soft, rhythmic breathing, her pink little cheeks, her little feet under the cuffies, her little hands buried under the pillowcase, her moist, full lips, moving in some faraway dream. I watched her, and yes, I loved her. I was nearly late for work. I was staring fascinated at her beautiful hair as it lay across the pillowcase. At the little thoughts that must have been dancing through her little brain as she dreamed an untroubled sleep of the proud and innocent. Slowly she removed her hand from underneath the pillow, and you can imagine my horror as I watched her bury it in her nose up to the second knuckle. I stood transfixed, staring at the sight from my loved one, picking her nose in her sleep. She removed her finger, and with it came a 5-pound booger. The whole side of her head collapsed. I said, "Oh, my God!" I scooped up the booger. I scooped up her. I took her to the hospital, where the doctors performed a radical boogotomy and reinstalled the booger to its original place of lodging. And miraculously, she survived the operation. She was normal, with a minimum of brain damage. The boogotomy apparently took, and we were happy. Until the day came when she ruined the doctor's work. She loused up all the benefits of the operation. One day she turned to me and said, and it was all over.
Morning.
About 25% raise.
Mm-hmm.
Put in for it anyway. Well, he couldn't get a raise to the police officers or the firemen and all those folks.
Uh-huh.
They've been calling him names up there, and he's kind of upset about it.
Holy jeez, well, what they been calling him?
Mayor Godbo.
Hoyle, for crying out loud. Hoyle, don't alienate. Jeez, Hoyle, do you realize it? Don't alienate City Hall, please, Hoyle. I mean, my God, you got to consider his point of view. The man's got a lot of pressure. He's got a lot of people hammering at him. He's got a lot of decisions to make. A
lot of decisions? Hell, no decisions he's got. $10,000
The Doobie Brothers, and dependent on you, 4 minutes before 9, 69 Big Ape with the Grease Man, waiting for that cash clock to start ticking again.
Might be so constipated you're begging for relief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Hear me talking when I say that you're gonna have to serve somebody.
I ain't had a chance to look, see how it is today, but that river was rough. I mean, there were some 3- and 4-footers breaking. That don't sound like much to the people that are ready for offshore riding, but, hell, you know, it was rough. It was bouncing, and all my guests on the grease boat were getting sick. You know, they was heaving their guts up, and I was laughing, you know, drinking another beer. Water was crashing on the bow, and they were all heaving their guts, and I was laughing. I was hitting them waves broadside just to make that boat rock, having a good time. When, wouldn't you know, I started feeling seasick, and I thought, oh, no, how
embarrassing. I can't get seasick. I'm the captain. But sure enough, I felt my guts roll. And I said, son of a gun, I'm going to be sick. But I didn't want to give them the satisfaction of seeing me. So I said, take over the helm. I'm going forward to check on the anchor. I want to make sure it's secure. So I went forward and I leaned over the bow and I just heaved my guts. Wah! But they couldn't figure because I was leaning over the bow and making believe I was checking the anchor line, you know? And it was noisy with the waves crashing. They couldn't hear nothing. So I just heaved my guts. And then I tidied up and stood up, walked back to the rest of the cabin and sat back down, you know? Nobody any the wiser. And we're sitting there and suddenly all that barf goes floating by the boat. And one of my passengers said, hey, look at that. There must be some real men out today. Somebody's chumming the waters.
Most unsavory. Most unsavory.
Oh, happy trails to you.
Arrivederci.
Until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
One day after an unusually brutal argument, I said to her, 2 and 2 is 4, and 3 plus 6 is 9. I can put mine in yours, but you can't put yours in mine. And I expected her to stammer and stare at me at a loss for words, but no. She came back and said, 2 plus 2 may be 4, and 3 plus 6 may be 9. But I know the length of yours, and you don't know the depth of mine. There's a high stepper on the line that wants to ask me a serious question. No serious questions allowed. Okay, but, okay, go ahead.
Since I am in the process of becoming the very best there is.
Uh-huh.
And I am expected to do a certain amount of piccolo playing.
Right.
Am I not, in turn, allowed to have my pleasures, too?
Yes, you are. You will be equally reciprocated in tuna lapere.
That's a promise.
That's a promise.
All right, now, exactly where do I pinch to get what I want?
Where do you pinch to get what you want?
Uh-huh. If you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to pinch you.
Oh, well, wait a minute now. Oh, no. You won't find any reticence on my part. I will hungrily dive into the tuna. I will wear my scuba gear so that...
Well, you see, I'm having a problem with a certain gentleman in my life, and I don't know whether to kick his butt out or what.
Oh, I see. You mean there you are playing that piccolo day in, day out, and you can't get him to lap the tuna.
You better believe.
Is that the problem?
Right.
I wonder, well, have you ever asked him?
Yes, I've even threatened to hell with this nonsense, buddy. I'll find me a younger man who's much more interested, but,
What happened, though? He wouldn't go for it, huh?
No.
Hmm.
I think I'm entitled to
it. I think so, too. Yeah, I mean, after consuming all that Cupid's cuisine there...
You better believe.
The least you could expect is a little mutual gratification for crying out Christmas.
Right.
Well, best thing you can do is next time he dozes off... Why not adjust the tuna so that he's eye to eye with it? And then, break wind! Wham! And when he wakes up, he better start lapping or die.
Oh, Lord.
For sleep.
Uh-huh.
Take some of that crazy glue and smear it around his lips and then stick it to it.
Oh, no! I don't know if that would work. He might suffocate.
Yeah, but what a way to go!
The funeral arrangements, though, would be somewhat awkward.
I found it. Fred?
Okay, 28 minutes after 9. Hobble, dog, hobble, dog,
hobble.
Oh, boy, that echo chamber is hot today. All right, now, let me see. What have we done? We broke wind, belch, canoodle, piccolo play, lap the tune. I know. Let's see what Zone 3 would sound like if there were an echo chamber that were to be suddenly turned on in the dead of night down in Zone 3. It would probably sound something like this.
Boom, shaka, 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 boom,
shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka,
boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom,
shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, boom, shaka, putting up with me. Raymond, a high steppers will be emotionally tuna, you know. And I, whenever she'd get to sulking around, I'd sneak up from behind and put that echo chamber on the floor, and I'd say, oh, tuna. And before you know it, she'd be getting a little smile on her lips, and I'd say, come on. And then
she'd slam her fist down on the kitchen table and say, "So, you know something? You are a stupid, insipid, childlike moron that finds happiness in the adolescent pleasure of reverberating your voice like a stupid hyena. You make me sick. Bug off." I'd say to her, "Honka ba 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 ba." Something for me to ease my broken heart ever since, well, she left me. My own fault, really. I think the thing that started it all to end was that time it was my birthday, and she asked me what I wanted. I said, "Darling, I got everything a man could possibly have in this old world, except for a Rolls Royce, and I know you can't get me that, so I don't know what I want." She said, "Oh, come on, say anything, anything at all." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'd really like." She said, "What?" I said, "It's inexpensive. You can't get it in the store. Something you can do right here at home. And it's something I'll remember for a long time. And something I've always wanted as long as I've been a man." She said, "What?" I said, "I want you to shave the tuna." She said, "Oh, no, no, no." I said, "Come on, you asked me what I want for my birthday. That's what I want, some shaved tuna." She said, "Oh, I could." I said, "Come on, darling, ain't nobody gonna know." She said, "Well, I guess it might be fun." I said, "All right." So she slipped discreetly away. A few minutes came back with shaved tuna. I said, "Whee, look at that thing." Well, I had me a time. I had me a time. It was fun. Cute little old thing. But the problem started when, 3 days later, still hadn't grown back. A week later, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, finally came time for her usual checkup at the tunologist, and boy, he just shrieked with laughter. All the receptionists came in, and they were shrieking with laughter. And then finally, our relationship dissolved, and we were getting a divorce, you see. She said, "You've ruined me. I got shaved tuna now. How will I ever find another man?" I said, "Well, to show you how big-hearted I am, I'll buy you a toupee." So I went out and got a toupee and some super glue. Slap that thing on there. I said, "See, you're all set." 3 weeks later, she called me and said, "My new man figured it out. My new man found out I was wearing a toupee on the tuna." I said, "Well, how did he know?" She said, I think the pompadour gave me away." It was delightful, if not somewhat restrictive. Fudge packing. Yeah, well, you know, she's married to a man who's into that kind of thing, and years later, fudge packing's finally taking its toll. She was telling me that when she first got married, she could drop a depth charge into a Coke bottle. Now she couldn't hit a wash basin.
Hey, I'm careful. There's no Star Chief out there, boy. I got her all shined up. Yeah. Today, going on tuna patrol.
Looks good. Where'd you get that, from a Zone 3 flea market sale? Ah!
Fighting words, I'm telling you.
I'm only
bruising for a bruising.
I'm kidding now. Come on.
You going on tuna patrol with me and Bubba?
Yeah, I'll fix it, too. I figure I got the tunometers out of service here. I ran into some exceedingly corrosive tuna the other day, unfortunately, but it's in the repair.
Was the oil drained off of it?
I don't know what it was, but it done curled the paint a little bit.
I don't like it when the oil drained off of days.
I know.
Put a little extra mayo on it, though. It'll do all right.
I know. Less abrasive.
I got a hold of a little Zone 3 tuna.
Oh, no. You did?
Yeah.
And what happened?
And, I got a real serious problem, and I figured that you could help me with it.
All right, what's the problem?
It's turning a darker shade than what I am.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. We won't have to cut it off. In 3 days, it'll fall off by itself. Well, you know, I just do that. I just can't help it. I remember one time my wife caught me. She come walking in, there I was. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, come on, darling." She says, "Here I am, available, and there you are." I said, "Well, darling, I'm just tired of you." That's it. She said, "You're tired of me? How long we been married?" I said, "4 years." "And how long you been..." I said, "Well, geez, must be been going on 25 years. Now," she said, "Well, then how come you're tired of me after 4 and you ain't tired of yourself after 25? I said, "Darling, you forget that I am ambidextrous." Well, I done had me
your belly full. Leave it to Reggie.
I mean, you talk, unfair. Hey, buddy, when you're standing there on the platform in the sewage treatment plant, can you actually see depth charges floating by?
Yeah, we actually see them depth charges floating by, I guess, buddy.
Well, what I want to know then, because, I understand that's a real man way to make a living if ever there was one. I'm going to go in the bathroom while the news is on, drop me a depth charge, and I'm going to get a toothpick, and I'm gonna take the toothpick and get a piece of paper, write you a little note, stick the toothpick and the note to the depth charge, and flush it. And probably how long will it take before you get the depth charge floating by and you can pull that note off of there?
That's unsavable.
Yeah, well, hell, be worth a lot of money someday.
Yeah, we can get the note. You sign your name, we'll get the note. It'll be about 15 minutes.
But you let me remember it. All right, well, let me do this and we come back to you.
So the last few minutes until blessed relief.
I can't remember this one. This is one that Bubba had told me, and I wrote it down and left it out there, and I had to go out and get this one.
All right, this is a Zone 3 joke. Now, I hope you're going to be in good taste.
I didn't say it was a Zone 3 joke. You said that. Listen to it and tell me if you think it is.
All right, well, you keep it in good taste now.
It will be, boy. Right. What is black and red now, and clogs up your sink? I guess it is a Zone 3 joke.
I can get it now. Let me see. What is
black and red and clogs up your sink?
Black and red and clogs up your sink. What? I give a...
It's a cleaning lady's hand stuck in your garbage disposal.
Yeah, that's it for me. I done had a belly full. I ran over a little bit, fella. Sorry I used some of your time.
Oh, no, not again.
Yes, sir.
Happy trails to
you're
you.
You're dismissed.
Oh, I didn't mean it.
Until we meet again.
I mean it to Reggie.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
She's taking forever, and he's screaming. And yeah, well, all right, look, I can... Buddy, let me help you speed her up a little bit. Let me talk. Is she available?
Yeah, hang on a second. Hey, bud.
Hey, baby.
Good morning, little flower.
Good morning.
You going to blow dry your hair?
Yeah.
Tell me.
And that's all, too.
Come on. I was going to ask you, and you can tell me honestly, have you ever tried to blow dry the tuna? No.
Do you think this real man would let me?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I want to know if you've probably done it already.
I'm not going to tell you.
You set that thing on style and curl.
I can't tell you everything.
Come on. I ain't going to tell nobody.
Yeah, you will. You tell everybody.
Oh, hell, just you, me, and the great Southeast will know. Come on. You
to the South.
Did it feel good?
Oh, yeah.
It did. Yeah, you did it. Watch out, though, because if you did it with a dryer made prior to 1977, you got asbestos in the tuna.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
How bad.
And one good thing, though, the friction won't set it on fire.
I don't feel good this morning.
What's the matter?
I feel like that little fat man in Deliverance.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, the police still messing with me. They're marking on my ass.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I promised David Harrell I'd be true, but...
Leave him alone, you lawman. Leave him alone, or at leastwise provide him with some Vaseline. Have a hide and some compassion.
Now, we are two of a kind, yet different, you see. For one tuna is bald, the other has a goatee. We love you, Greasy. We don't want you to ponder. We just want our tunas to meet your eighth wonder.
Two. All right, let me hear Fifi's poem. Come on.
Roses, they are red. Violets, they are blue. If that's Greasy... If one that touches me, I'll chop it off of you.
No, 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 please. It's been tried, darling, but the blade sharp enough just ain't been made. Yeah, all right, enough brutality. I got a lady on the line here with her cute little kitty. What's this now, darling? You named your child, what, Stormy?
Uh-huh.
Is that his official birth certificate name?
Yeah, Stormy Christine.
Stormy Christine.
Uh-huh, I got another one named Wendy.
Wendy? Stormy and Wendy. Sounds like you're very flatus-minded, is that true?
I'm very what?
Flatus-minded.
I guess.
Yeah, I like a flatus-minded person. That's right. You're never at a loss for propulsion. Sure. Happy birthday, Stormy.
Now, wait a minute. Here she is, okay?
All right. Put her on.
Say hi.
Say hello, Uncle Greasy. Come on.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's take a little turn. I should say hello, Uncle Greasy. And I mean hello, Uncle Greasy. If you're going to sit on the phone and be actually a mother, we can just break it up right now.
69 BC. Experience.
Well, what happened, buddy?
Well, last night I was with a sailor's wife.
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to be in the hell down in Guatemala, Cuba, you know?
Yeah, Guantanamo Bay, you there.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, in Guatemala, Cuba. All right, go on.
He was, what's that?
Well, that's my damn head squeaking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Get that thing checked,
boy. I'm going to get it checked.
I think that means you're going crazy.
Well, no, that's the sound of windbreak. You see, if I pinch my cheeks real tight, it don't make a reverberation, just squeaks, doesn't it?
Sounds good.
Yeah, of course, you can't do nothing about the smell. Anyway.
Anyway, well, I'm over here and I'm tapping on a... What are you doing?
I'm looking at somebody. I'm sorry. Now, let me get this straight.
Well, I wish we was on TV.
I know.
It'd be a hell of a lot funnier.
I know.
Anyway, I'm tapping this sailor's wife, and the sailor comes home.
Uh-huh.
He's supposed to be down there in the uncommunist side of Cuba, right?
Right.
Well, that shocked the hell out of me. Well, I'm right there with Lee. Well, he said, look, he says, I'm so tired. He said, me and my buddies have been out here drinking. He said, I ain't got time to whoop your butt tonight. So I'm going to lock you in this room over here. You can get some rest if you want to. And when you get up tomorrow morning, he said, and I get up and I'm nice and refreshed, I'm going to take care of you and punish you for being with my wife.
You mean he came in, caught you with his wife.
That's
he was
right.
Said he was too tired, too drunk to deal with you then. So he locked you in the bedroom to deal with you in the morning? Yeah.
And he locked me in the bedroom with his daughter.
Man, a man must have been drunk.
And he said, don't touch my daughter.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
Said,
I'm sure you didn't touch
my daughter. He said, don't touch her. I got up this morning.
Uh-huh.
He looks at me and I have that, you know, that grin.
Yeah.
Grin on my face. And he said, look. And he said, boy, he said, you a brave son of a gun. He said, I tell you. He said, not only was you with my wife, he said, I know you was with my daughter last night. I figured, what the hell, right?
Yeah.
He's already caught me his wife. What more is he going to do to me, right?
Uh-huh.
I said, yes, sir. I said, I was with your daughter. I admit it. I said, but let me ask you something. Was she eating rice last night or something for supper? So she had this funny stuff in her mouth there, funny taste, too. He said, hell no, boy, it wasn't rice. Them was maggots. He says she's been dead for about 3 weeks.
Let me tell you something. I go through a living hell. I'm emotionally spent. I'm pretty rackety. I'm going to bury myself in tuna. I think I'll pour a little Perrier on the tuna. So I give me a little effervescence.
Happy trails to you.
Bubbles kind of tickle my nose.
Until we meet again.
A reef with a Reggie. That's right, and it was in Nevada. Back in them days, buddy, you didn't have no appeals. You didn't have no pinko lawyers running around. You didn't have nothing. They accused you, and if they convicted you, that was it. That was all she wrote. Next thing you know, you is in the chair. Well, I, of course, pleaded innocence. I was drunk. I was in a bar. There was a woman. There was a smoke-filled room. There were some fisticuffs, a broken bottle. Next thing I know, I'm lying on the floor. There's police all around. There's a dead man next to me. They cuffed me and said, all right, soldier, get in the car. I said, but officers, I didn't do nothing. I was drinking. Somebody hit me with a bottle. They said, your fingerprints are on the bottle. I said, I was drinking out of the bottle. For crying out loud. Of course, my fingerprints. And he said, you murdered this man. I said, I didn't murder him. That's for the judge to decide. But before I knew what had happened, I was up before a kangaroo court. It was a local boy, and I, soldiering scum in their eyes. The trial lasted 3 days. My family sat watching. Guilty as charged. By the power vested in me by the state of Nevada, you are hereby sentenced to die in the gas chamber. No, God, no, I couldn't believe it was happening to me, but yet it was. The bailiffs dragged me kicking and screaming from the courtroom. They put me on death row in Nevada, the holding cell, right next to the gas chamber, where you're a breath from death.
Well, the big day came. I tried everything. I tried everything, every appeal, but it was no good. My family came and said goodbye. A preacher came in the cell, muttering, Domini Domingus, Onion Dipolingus, Domini Dumongus, Homolo Humongus, Homolo...
I said, hey, can that chatter? Will you, for crying out loud, let me die in peace with a little dignity.
A doctor came in and scotch-taped a stethoscope to my chest with a long tube on it so that he could monitor my heartbeat from outside the gas chamber and know when I've left this vale of tears. The warden came and said, "Son, it's time." Slowly, resigned to my fate, knowing, falsely accused, I was going to die for another man's crime, I was numb with terror. I walked that last mile. All the other inmates clackety-clacked their coffee cups on the bars as I entered the gas chamber. I sat down in the chair. They slammed the door shut. They dropped the cyanide capsules into the liquid. And the gas started to hiss into the chamber. I remember the doctor saying, "Son, it'll be easier if you let the chamber fill and then take one deep breath and you'll be gone before you know what hit you." Well, I saw the gas circling all around me. I prepared to take that one final breath that would send me to oblivion when they held up a chalkboard outside the gas chamber that said, "The real killer confessed. Hold your breath and we'll try to get you out of there." I thought, "My God!" So I clenched my teeth and I held my breath while I frantically tried to suck the cyanide gas out of there. Well, I held my breath and I held it until my lungs were on fire and I held it still more. They held up a big sign and said, "Hold your breath! We're gonna get you out!" I said, "My God, I can't hold my breath, but lucky!" Then I realized the stethoscope. I ripped it from my chest. I attached one to the tube to my depth charge release chute, the other end to my nose. And I broke wind. I thought I could rebreathe gas that has already been used. True, it was brackish. True, it was foul. But I broke wind and lived on the wind breakages until they finally burst open the door of the gas chamber, dissipated the gas, and freed me. I said, "Oh, thank God." I asked the doctor. I said, "Doctor, am I going to be all right? I mean, I had to live on wind breakages for 30 seconds. He said, "Yes, yes, you should be all right." But to this day, I'm deformed. Yes. It singed all the hair out of my nose, and now I have nothing left to hold my boogers in. Oh, it's great. M-twin diesels were throbbing, sucking that fuel. Except I'm still learning how to drive that thing. I got to be careful with it. I was driving up around Fort George yesterday, and there's this whole bunch of Zone 3 residents out there in them little runabouts fishing, you know? And I come by in this monster. And I guess I should have slowed down a little bit because I throw a heavy wake. I mean, 4-foot seas when I go by. And it kind of swamped this one boat, and I heard this boom shakalaka and fishing rods flying, and splash, splash, yeah. I said, "Oh, no. No, 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 no. What have I done? What have I done?" So I tool that big baby around. I said, "Hey, I'm sorry about that. I guess I should have slowed down a little bit." He said, "Sorry." He said, "Honky, you're in trouble now." You know, I'm standing there with a life jacket ready to throw it to him. He said, I will sue you for everything. I lost all my fishing gear. I lost my fishing pole. I can't even find Willie. I don't know where he's at. My boat's a total loss. It done sunk. Yeah, throw me that life jacket, buddy. Throw it." I said, "Oh, no, 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 no." I threw him the anchor.
Morning.
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Did you miss your Uncle Greasy over the weekend?
Oh, I sure did.
Did you think of your Uncle Greasy?
Always.
And did you become aroused?
Not much.
Oh, what are you telling me? Not much? Come on, there were no secretion of any kind?
Huh?
I mean, you didn't find yourself moist. No?
Well, I said you're too much.
How old are you?
Old enough.
Come on.
Old enough.
I'm getting a reading on the statutory roughometer. Are you under 18?
He was telling me the other night how Indians get their name.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, you know?
Yeah, they got funny names, you know?
They do.
Well, anyway, he was telling me when he was just a little old brave, say about 4 or 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
He was sitting there in front of the teepee,
mm-hmm.
And his daddy, the chief, walks up to him,
uh-huh.
Looks up at him, and he says, "Pop." He said, "Why do Indians have such funny names? Why aren't we named Charlie and Jim and Joe and John, like other folks is?"
Yeah.
His daddy looked at him and said, "Well, that's just not the way we do it." He said, "I'll tell you how Indians get their names." He said, "For instance, when your big sister was born," said, "I walked out front and seen a deer run by, and this beautiful white snow was falling, so I called her Little White Deer." Well, hell, that made sense.
Yeah, hell,
that made sense.
Uh-huh.
He said, "When your brother was born, I walked out front of the teepee and seen an elk run by, big, beautiful elk run by, so he called him Little Running Elk."
Yeah.
Little boy said, "Okay." Said, I guess that makes sense. And so the pop, the old Indian chief, looked down at the boy and he says, "Is that all the question you got, little two dogs porking?"
How you can tell that joke about the most majestic people that ever walked the face of this earth, Hoyle? I don't know.
Oh, I'm talking about Indians. Come on, for crying out loud.
Pop, 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 music. Pop, 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 music.
69, Big A, best pop music, M. It's 19 minutes before 9. This here's the Grease Man for another day of shrieking for virality.
All right, coming clutch.
They're good-looking women. You're going to like them, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're so good-looking, you'd play their daddy's piccolo.
Really?
I mean, they are some kind of fine.
I imagine. If they work for you, they have to be.
I mean, they are. All right, let me tell you something confidential-like.
Yeah.
It's good, clean tuna.
Huh?
I said it's good, clean tuna.
Is it?
It is. It is, buddy. I mean, it's squeaky clean.
Really?
You could eat off that thing. Ah!
Months of anticipation, she came over to the Grease Palace, and I wanted to make it last. Now, you probably think that I'm just one of them rutting bulls. You know, I ain't got no technique, no finesse. But no, 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 no. I like to be tender. Yeah, I cooked up a couple steaks on the grill. Baked potatoes. And I symbolically glopped on the sour cream as she watched hungrily, and we kissed in the kitchen while I crushed my croutons. I said, oh, God, darling, it's going to be so good. All through the meal, we grinned at each other in anticipation of the excitement and action that was to come. And finally, after we had cleaned our plates like good little boys and girls, we proceeded to the living room where I put some mood music on the stereo. Oh, God. And we danced slowly. And as I kissed the back of her neck, I saw all the little hairs stand up, each one with its individual little goosebump to hold it at attention like a proud flagpole. And then, slowly, I slid my hand up her satin dress and found the bow that was tied behind her neck. And with a gentle pull of my thumb and forefinger, flick! It came free and fell around her ankles. Hungrily, my lips sought hers, but then I remembered, damn, championship bowling's on. I flipped on that TV set, and Earl Anthony was right in the middle of trying to convert a 2-5 split. I said, wow, look at this. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, championship bowling, Earl Anthony's on, he's got the 2-5 split. She said, you crazy, leave me here naked. And she got so mad, she just bundled up her clothes and went running out, jumped in her car. I said, wait a minute, come back. She said, the hell with you, buddy. And she flipped me the finger and started backing out of the driveway. I said, all right, if that's the way you want it, there. All over the windshield, and I laughed as she drove away, windshield wipers sweeping through the glop.
Ah!
Women don't mean anything to me.
How can you do this to me?
Look,
neither.
Wait a minute now. These other women are just, you know, just receptacles for my... You, on the other hand, are a receptacle for my mind.
Oh.
You're a receptacle for my thoughts, my dreams, my ideas, and my secret feelings.
Yes.
You see?
Yes. How come you never tell me they're men?
Tell me what?
How come you never tell me your deep dark secrets?
All right, here's one of them.
Okay.
My secret fantasy is to have a little piccolo playing being done by a high step who's in the process of dropping depth charges.
Oh, jeez.
Sound like fun? It is.
Yeah, sure. It really does. Oh, God. Oh, this is
going to
look good in my memoirs.
Your memoirs? Oh, no, don't put me in your memoirs. Please, you promised discretion.
Oh, dear heart, you record and I write.
God, Jesus.
That's right.
It's about...
You played this little rock and roll record for it. You played that little Robert John Sad Eyes. I kind of like that kind of stuff now.
Hoyle.
Set up.
17 minutes before 9 here at the Big A. Hoyle, I mean...
I was over there, let me tell you, I was over there last night at that haunted house y'all got at the Chamber of Horrors.
Yeah.
Talking to some of them JCs.
Uh-huh. Let me
watch that Zone 3 music there with the Grease Man tomorrow.
Wait a minute, Hoyle. Just wait a damn minute. Everywhere I go, people ask me about Hoyle Dempsey this, Hoyle Dempsey that. And I say to them, you're a big fan of Hoyle Dempsey? I mean, the only thing he does is intrude on my show, number one. Then he gets on the air, he talks about smut, he talks about racism, and he talks about violent, antisocial behavior.
And I'm proud of it. Because I tell you something, Budrow, that's the way of the world. That's where things are going. As a matter of fact, since the beginning of time, that's what's been the topic, buddy. It's been racism, it's been perversion, and it's been smut. What else do you name?
Well, antisocial behavior.
Violence? Did you name that?
All right, violence too, but Hoyle, if that's the way the world is...
I'll bring my damn pistol here and start blowing out the walls. You want to see me do that? People love that stuff, boy!
Well, Hoyle, then that's a pretty damn...
I'll give you some better ratings. Let me bring my gun in here and start blowing out the walls in here.
And you know something? The sad fact is, Hoyle, people would probably love it. And that's a sad commentary.
I'll blow Roy Riley's bourbon glass out of his hand in there.
What possible? I give up.
I'll tell you what my daddy once told me.
What's that?
And it fits right here. Some way it'll fit.
What's that?
He one time told me, he said it's better to treat people with a little kindness and a swoop kick in the ass than it is with just a little kindness.
Did anybody win yet?
Yeah, we got a winner, but you've still won my great respect, darling.
Oh, okay.
If you want to come down here, I have a special consolation prize for you.
What?
Well, I can't say exactly, but it's bigger than a bread box, and it's better when served piping hot.
Yeah?
And it's quite satisfying, really. It goes great with chow mein, sometimes even looks like chow mein.
Oh, no.
Yes, and it's high in protein.
Oh, no.
Yes, 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 yes. What do you say?
Thank you.
No, I mean, I ain't giving to you yet. You gonna come down? Let me hop with the gaga.
Gaga, gaga, gaga.
There you go. How old are you?
24.
Oh, God. You're right in my target area, darling. 24. Old enough so you got some technique, and yet not so old that the tune is becoming grandiose in dimension.
That's right.
What do you say, huh? Are you married, Tuna?
Yeah.
Oh, no?
Yeah.
You are? Oh. Well, there go all my hopes out the window. Unless you're not a fanatic about it. What do you think?
Pardon me?
Would your man mind if I barred you for a little while?
Possibly, but what he don't know ain't gonna hurt
him. Oh. Steph was fixing the head of the Grease Palace for a little afternoon hop with the gaga. And she says, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I gotta go to the bathroom real bad. I said, well, darling, don't be embarrassed. That's only natural. She said, well, I'm embarrassed because I can't hold it. I just can't. I said, darling, we're in the middle of the Buckman Bridge here. Wait till I get to the other. She said, I can't hold it. Either you stop this car or it's gonna be all over your upholstery. I said, oh, no, 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 no. I hated to stop on the bridge like that. It's real dangerous, but there wasn't much traffic. I figured I put my flashing lights on and everything. So she jumped out. As soon as I got that car stopped, she jumped out of the car and hung her derriere over the side of the Buckman Bridge, you know? And I'm there, you know, standing there nervously, figuring I'm going to get a ticket for stopping on the bridge, or someone's going to plow into me, and there she is. And I'm watching her and watching her. I said, well, ain't you going to pee? What's taking you so long? She said, I can't pee now. Look, there's a canoe underneath me. And I look over, I said, that ain't no canoe. That's your reflection. No, anticlimactic. Throwing
any ugly things between the hours of 8:30 and 9:30.
Don't say any ugly things.
The best, and I had these little kids going to a private school, some of them going to a public school.
Uh-huh.
And they irritate you.
They do.
In school. My brother went to the office yesterday.
And what did he say? You mean the principal took him to the office?
Yeah.
For doing something in the class?
Yeah, for imitating you.
Well, really? What was he doing?
Breaking my wing now. Breaking my wing. That's not funny.
I'm sorry. I don't think it is either.
69 Big 8.
It's 22 past 8 here at the Big 8. That record always reminds me of her. I never told you this, I never confessed, but yes, I met her when I was attending Harvard. I at one time wanted to be a surgeon, and I was at Harvard Medical School when I met her. She worked in the library, and I in the lab. And we'd steal glances at one another when we passed on the campus. I was a frat man, I joined I Felt a Thigh. She graduated summa cum quickly. We had a torrid burning love affair there in the hallowed halls of the ivy-covered campus. We went to the games, the hockey games. We fell deeply in love. We were to be wed. Until she told me the evil secret of her family. They were from a well-to-do Boston society. And she said that her father would never permit our marriage because I had no breeding, I had no culture, I had no family lineage. When I had traced my family tree, I found a dog peeing on it. I mean, I had nothing to offer. But I figured I could talk him into it because I was always a persuasive man, if not a erudite one. So I said, Mr. Fibish, that was her name, Sheila Fibish. I said, Mr. Fibish, I may not have the breeding y'all have, and I may not be from Boston,
I might be just a little Florida boy, but I tell you what, I got some love for your daughter. And if you give your approval for me taking her hand in marriage, I promise, sir, I'll always be true to her. And I'll give her something that society can't give her. I will give her dedication. I will give her love. So please, sir, allow this marriage because, number one, I will love her dearly. Number two, I will never be cruel to her. Number three, I will bear you proud sons. Number four, I'll make the family proud to have me a member. Number five, she'll be the happiest she ever was. And number six, you might as well, because I've been porking her all the last semester. Ah! Oh, weightlifting is for fags and egomaniacs. I climbed off the bench press with a fully pumped bicep. I grabbed him around the throat, lifted him 3 feet off the floor. I said, how'd you like to go home and tell your wife that you got your butt kicked by a fag egomaniac? Yeah. I let him down as soon as he became incontinent. Yeah, get you ready to do some cutting up women.
Yeah, you playing that old swish music I hear?
Yeah, swish music? That ain't swish music, for crying out loud.
Playing them discos.
Hey, all right, look, I'll remove the disco while you're in here. How's that? Fair enough?
All right, fine.
All right,
snap with his fingers and lick it off.
Oh, dear Lord, why has that?
He likes that.
Is this true there really was a guy?
Yeah, yeah, a guy used to know if they heard him. Used to do that.
Eat boils.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. This day and time, they probably say that was legal, I guess.
Now, I imagine. Well, what's the upshot of all of this?
Funny you should mention that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, one time, this old woman, I want to tell you now, this old woman was bad, boy. She never took a bath.
Uh-huh.
She was so damn ugly, about 7 days older than sin. You know the type.
Uh-huh.
Just a skag, right?
Yeah.
Well, she had a ball right next to her depth charge chute. He gets down there. And the broad ain't take a bath now. Married about 3 or 4 weeks. He gets down there and starts soaking that boil with a little hot cloth, you know. Gets down there and commences to pop it, and all of a sudden she breaks wind. He looks up at her and says, "What are you trying to do, lady? Make me sick?"
Yeah, that was back when you were just a little twinkle in your mama's tuna. I'll talk to you later, darling. All right?
Hey!
Isn't that nice?
This is Hoyle Dempsey.
See,
the voice of Halloween.
Wee.
That reminds me.
What's that?
Get that damn thing. That thing off?
It's off.
That reminds me of last Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what happened?
I went out with a little old girl.
Uh-huh.
She was dressed up in one of these spooky outfits.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You went out with a girl dressed up in a spooky outfit, yes.
Uh-huh. She started out the evening as a witch.
Uh-huh.
By the end of the night, she was a goblin.
This is Roy Riley.
Yeah, I am a little low-key this morning. Even though it is Friday, I still feel a little eerie after what happened to me yesterday. God, it was terrifying. Well, I was visiting some family in the hills of Palatka, the mountains of Palatka, yesterday, and I got lost. I took a wrong turn. I went down this dirt road, and I came upon a heretofore undiscovered settlement of mountain people. There were a bunch of guys in a circle, a bunch of high steppers in the middle. There was a lot of giggling. There was a lot of guitar picking, banjo picking going on. And I said, "Hey, hi, y'all. I'm lost." And they just looked at me with toothless grins. I said, "What are y'all doing?" And they told me, "We're just lapping tuna. We're just lapping tuna. We're just lapping tuna till it's wet and slobbery. We're just lapping tuna. We're just lapping tuna. We're just lapping tuna till it's wet and slobbery." I said, "Well, boys, I've been on the road all day long. I sure would love to lap me some tuna. Move aside. Let me get in there." They said, stranger. "If you want to lap our tuna, if you want to lap our tuna, if you want to lap our tuna, it'll cost you a handsome fee. If you want to lap our tuna, if you want to lap our tuna, if you want to lap our tuna, it'll cost a handsome fee." So I went running down to my car. I grabbed my wallet. I come running back. I said, "Look at this, buddy. Money's no problem. I got every credit card in the world. I got MasterCard. I got Visa. I got American Express. Name it." He said, "Ain't none of them good enough." I said, "None of them good enough? What kind of credit card you need to lap tuna?" And they just smiled at one another and said, "Diner's Club." I said, "I gotta have some tuna." Dead dog lying in my pickup truck. I'd have thrown him out of there, but his tail is stuck. Yeah, I know a dead dog ain't the most appetizing thing to carry around in your pickup, but then again, a real man don't buy a pickup to carry around. Poinsettias, or I'll kick you in your livers and crotch in the Navy. And watch me launch my signal flare. Ooh, in the Navy.
Wilbur Hog on the high seas in the Navy. We'll give the captain a little squeeze.
Geez, I can't believe we're playing that record. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yes, sir.
I bought her a necklace, and we had our picture taken, and we laughed, and we kissed. And then when night fell, we went to the cinema, one motor in, and enjoyed the free in-room movies. And yes, I did feel the earth move. Well, I still have the cowboy hat, and she still has the necklace. The only thing we don't have is each other. The Cinema One Motor Inn. They're on 3007 Phillips Highway. Call 24 hours a day for reservations. 399-3565. That's 399-3565. The adults only Cinema One Motor Inn. Why not go there with her?
Thank you there, Uncle Lord Malingo.
No end of the fun at Jakey's. Monday night is a Kate Jackson look-alike contest. You think you look like the thoughtful member of the high-stepping trilogy? Well, swing on by Jakey's Monday night, try for that $25 gift certificate, and enjoy some of Jakey's thick crust pizza with anything on top that you want. You want powdered rhinoceros horns on there? Go ahead. It'll have you pounding the ground. Tony and Ruthie will be there as usual, of course. They've made up after the fight they had over the weekend. Ruthie said, Tony, will you stop putting your dirty paintbrushes in my casserole dishes? Tony said, Ruthie, I'll stop putting my paintbrushes in your casserole dishes if you stop putting your false teeth in my beer glass.
Come on in and see
what's shaking, shaking. With a Kate Jackson lookalike contest Monday night, Shakey's, 8136 Atlantic Boulevard by Century 21.
Stay all night, stay a little longer, dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off your coat, throw it in the corner, don't see why you don't dance a little longer. Sound like fun? Yeah, you can go a lot of places with your four-wheel drive 79 Chevy Love Truck. It's waiting on you right now. Come on now. Conrad Hawkins Chevrolet, 44th Street, my Gateway Shopping Center. Finally, they've committed the ultimate injustice. The department has hired their first limp-wristed lawman, and you're disgusted. First of all, he wears a paisley uniform with saddle shoes. And he doesn't carry a .357. He carries a gun that's got a cork in the end of it. He's got licorice sticks in his bullet holes on his belt. And he drives a pink patrol car with a siren that goes, ooh, 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 ooh. One day, they assign him to your patrol car. They want you to show them what it's like out in the streets. They assign them to you because they know you're grizzled. You got guts. You'll keep them from getting killed. Holy shit. So the first day out, there he is, skipping down the hallway in the squad room. Oh, I'm going to be a policeman. And then he sees you and he goes, oh, hey, big boy. And you go, geez, and lean over the water fountain and vomit. Vomit your lunch, your dinner, the banquet you had when you got married 30 years ago. You vomit your whole life out. Then you say, excuse me, get the car, please. Yeah, so the two of you are riding along in the patrol car, and you're really nervous because he keeps looking at you, saying things like, you know, you really should do something with your hair. It makes you look 15 years older that way. You say, oh, shut up, will you just shut up and watch for criminals, for crying out loud. Well, finally, you get a call to go to a barroom brawl, and you send him in there first just to see how he works, and he runs up to the guy he's fighting and says, now, boys, you really must stop this, you know. You're going to cause skin lacerations. Boys! Finally, it looks like they're going to pummel him to death when you step in with one meaty hand. You break the whole thing up, huh? You put him in the back of the patrol car with the two criminals to make sure they don't get out of hand. And by the time you get to jail, they all tangled up in there like a pretzel. Oh, you let him lead them into the squad room, and he squeals delightedly. Please book us all. And they ask me why I drink and stuff. Boring.
I remember as far back as the first grade. That's a true story. I was 7 years old, and the teacher made me stand up and say the alphabet, and I didn't know the alphabet. You know, I was 7 years. Maybe I'm a slow learner. They say people that are gifted oftentimes are slow learners. Anyway, I was in the first grade, 7 years old, and I didn't know the alphabet, and she told me I was a bad boy because I should know it. Can you imagine that? Tell me I'm a bad boy. I mean, I felt inadequate. That was the start of it all. I mean, that's the reason I'm a little flaky today, because of them teachers. And, you know, a couple of teachers called up and said, I think that's terrible. What are you going to do about it? Make me write 1,000 times not to do it? That's what I say to you. It's fun to do that. You see, one day you'll be out of school, you'll be able to do that to teachers, too. Hey, teacher! You inane nothing, you. You veritable paramecium on my...
Everyone wears wingtip shoes, chinos, and seersucker suits. Why, Captain, it's easy. You're on the planet of Greece Minarius, inhabited by the Canoodleites. Mr. Spock, they all seem to have Dunlap disease. Dunlap disease, Captain? Yes, their bellies Dunlapped over the... their belts.
Trying to get it all squared away. I got some help from one of the secretaries, but you know how hard it is to find help nowadays. If you want it done right. She's helped me, and we're getting them all squared away. And you're still welcome to send me a name and address if you ain't already, so we can send you an official Big Ape, Grease Man, listen to card. They'll be hitting the mail before too long.
600 G's, buddy. 600 G's.
But you're giddy now, of course, and your bank account's going... But one day you're going to say, holy geez, I was so stupid. I was used. I was manipulated as a little toy.
What do you mean, I was used, manipulated? You think they're manipulating me?
Of course they are. I mean, when he sells that place, I mean, he ain't going to sell it for 4 or 5 G's now. 4 or 5 million, I mean. When he sees that little 5-year contract for the future owner,
yeah,
he's going to have the Kaplan release clause down below.
It's the Kaplan release clause?
Yes, an extra 3 million G's added on to cover your services and contract.
You mean he gets 3 million, I get a lousy 600 G's?
Indeed!
I've been screwed!
Oh, vividly!
Sensual.
Lady knows how to hum, you know? You don't get humming like that every day. 17 minutes after 9, 69, Big Ape,
the Grease Man with Babs Streisand.
Breaking a little brackish wind. Oh, he's cutting up lately. Holy moly, he's after my job. No, I'll cut you in on the 600 G's, but please, I'm a doddering old man in the twilight of a mediocre career. Have mercy! This translates to about 45 miles southeast of Palm Beach as of 8 a.m. this morning. I think Roy says about 30 miles southeast of Palm Beach. It's headed northeast right now, I believe. Roy will be keeping his eyes peeled on the weather wire and everything, so if David does any moving around, we'll let you know about it. Extra medicine if you got the consumption of gout or something, just in case it comes this way, and everybody got to take cover. We're playing it cool for the time being.
IPE Jacksonville. This is Alan Moore.
Hurricane warning, and somebody's rewinding a tape on the air there. we're trying to get our latest weather report.
That's not because your intercom switch is on.
Is that the reason
for
that?
Yeah, you see?
If I turn that off, it'll stop?
Right. All right, let me go back to rewinding now.
I suppose that's the reason you get 80 G's, right? excuses. Anyway, this edition is brought to you by Chao Hardware at 336 North 3rd Street in Jacksonville Beach.
Kate and I share a burning love affair to this day that still makes my mouth water. Somehow Kate Smith has the charisma that makes me hungry. No skinny model is she. Kate Smith was a woman you could really get your hands on. Although mine and Kate's relationship was occasionally sprinkled with tragedy. I remember one time my brother brought his kids over, and he had just had a newborn baby. And Kate held that baby in her arms and cradled it. Well, Kate had a bad case of the hiccups that day, and she hiccuped, and the baby got lost in her cleavage. Yeah, they couldn't find it. We sent a guy down there with a drop line. We called Jacques Cousteau to see if he would launch an expedition. It's about 25 minutes after 7 with the Grease Man. Got the heebie-jeebies this morning.
Yeah.
Went to see that movie, Survive. Did you see that? Oh, it's about this plane crash, and a bunch of these people survived the plane crash, but they ain't got no food, and they have to eat one another to stay alive. Ooh.
a kind of spooky thought, although got me to thinking when I seen that movie. I hope that if I'm ever in a plane crash and I survive it, I hope I'm with my second wife, because she was a big old fat slob, you know? And she had to go at least 210 pounds if she was an ounce, you know? And I hope that if I ever get in a plane crash and I ain't got no food, I'm with her, because boy, old boy, I'd shove an apple in her mouth and some hickory chips on her boom booms. I'd have enough food for 6 months.
Oh, yes, like you would not believe. Don't ever get old. It's not fun, you know? When you get to be my age, you occasionally get a problem. I'm a little embarrassed to even tell you about this, but you understand me, so I will. When you get to be my age, you have an occasional problem with your prostrate, you know? And, holy jeez, I went to the doctor yesterday. I described my symptoms. He says, it sounds like you're prostrate. And I said, uh-uh. And he said, I got to check it. I said, no, you ain't checking it, doctor. You ain't checking it. He says, I got to check it. I mean, I said, He says, all right, nurse, grab an arm. And he got three nurses in there to hold me down. And I said, oh, no. And he put on this old rubber glove. And I said, oh, no, you don't check my prostrate. And I said, no, no, no. So that doctor said, now, look, it'll only hurt for a little while. I said, oh, no. He went, I went, and I fell to the ground in a heap whimpering. Oh, the doctor said that wasn't so bad, was it? I said, oh, man, it was a living hell. I don't know how the lib-wristeds can stand it on a regular basis.
Friday! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's Friday! The weekend's here, and we'll have a can of beer. Tonight I've got a date with a high stepper named Olivia. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Who loves to have contests about TV trivia. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I always let her win because I rather enjoy getting the booby prize. Hallelujah!
Oh, you got me hot! Hot!
Yes. Look at my scalp. You can see little pools.
No, Uncle Frank, it just doesn't make sense. Just because we got three big days in February, St. Valentine's Day, George Washington's birthday, and Abe Lincoln's birthday, Uncle Frank at Kincare, Fort Mercury wants to combine the three into one day called St. Val Washing Links Day. Uncle Frank, you got all them great LTDs on the lot, beautiful-looking cars. Why not talk about the LTDs? You don't need that other stuff. He said, well, we need pizzazz. I said, I think you need a lobotomy. Kincare, Fort Mercury, Highway 17 in Green Cove Springs.
Ah, what did I do here?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Oh, geez.
Oh,
what
it's cold.
I know it's cold. I'm sorry. Geez. I spilled my beer all over. You can hear it trickling to the floor. Oh, geez. Well, what the hell? More hog again. It's 20 minutes after 9 here at the 8. Partially cloudy today, becoming mostly cloudy by tomorrow. Continued cool. High temp in the upper 50s. Low tonight in the 40s. Right now it's 45 at Jacksonville's Big 8. We'll stay all night. Hey. Team Roger. Well, that's it for me. I got to hit the road. I appreciate you putting up with me. I know it's not easy some morning. But anyway, I now bid you a fond adieu, and I look forward to flapping gals with you tomorrow.
Happy trails to you.
Arrivederci.
Until we meet again.
Creek up, little creek down. Gonna plow my corn with the devil's shovel. Stay all night, stay a little longer. Dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off your coat, throw it in the corner. Don't see why you don't dance a little longer. Sound like fun? Yeah, you can go a lot of places with your four-wheel drive 79 Chevy Love Truck. It's waiting on you right now. Come on now. Conrad Hawkins Chevrolet, 44th Street, my Gateway Shopping Center.
YMCA. I got a call. A lady said that she's going to be doing her exercises. She likes to do her bending and stretching to YMCA by the Village People. So let me find out. Here it is. Yeah, I can just picture. I'll
play the record, ma'am, and I'll be picturing you bend and stretch and up and down. Globos flopos all around.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. If you're leotard, you know, you probably get them all sweaty. That's all right. Don't bother with the laundry. Just send them to me, all right? I'll clean them and send them back to you.
Would you wrap them in plastic or saran wrap something to keep them fresh for me?
Yeah. Anyway, weather forecast says this is good. Sunny skies today. High 64. Tonight's low again in the 30s.
I reckon, and then head down to Zone 3.
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting. You know, different ways and customs and everything. I was down in Zone 3 over the weekend. Real nice day yesterday. So I went down to Zone 3. I was walking the streets, and I came upon this Zone 3 resident lying flat on his back with his hands and his feet up in the air. I said, Carlisle, what are you doing? He said, getting a suntan. Anyway, I'm
appreciate you putting up with me. Have a nice day. Richie.
Bubba. We was going deer hunting, you know, and I didn't think anything was wrong with Bubba. We was out in Bubba's four-wheel drive, and we was all talking about, you know, the big buck we killed last year and how we was hoping to get us a 10-pointer, you know, and we're driving along deep into the bowels of the woods. And suddenly Bubba turns to me and says, hey, you remember that time when you was carpooling with my wife about 10 years ago? I said, yeah, I remember. He said, well, you was together for about 2 weeks like that in the car. I wonder, did you ever get involved with her? I said, now, Bubba, what kind of thing is that to say? Don't ask about that. He said, no, I want to know. I want to know if you ever canoodled with my wife 10 years ago when you was together every day. I said, Bubba, you shouldn't ought to go asking the things like that. Things like that are best left at peace. Don't ask me. And he pulled that four-wheel drive over to the side of the road. He lifted up his shotgun, a 10-gauge loaded with double-aught buck. He pointed at my belly. He said, I want to know. I said, Bubba, for God's sake, put that shotgun down. He said, I want to know if you violated my wife. I said, Bubba, for crying out loud. And you know what he did? He took his thumbs, and he cocked the hammers on that old 10-gauge, and I felt it push into my cellulite-ridden belly. He said, you tell me whether or not you canoodle with her, or I'm going to blow your guts out all over this four-wheel drive. I said, Bubba, my God, please. And stalling for time, my hand reached around to the door release. I pulled it and threw my weight against it. And ba-blam! That damn shotgun went off, nearly took my belly off, but it just grazed me. And the second my feet hit the ground, I was running. I said, Bubba, Bubba, for crying out loud, Bubba! Ba-blam! One of the pellets caught me in the leg, and it just lifted me off the ground, spun me around. But I got back up. Only now I was limping. And I could hear Bubba jack them shells out of that 10-gauge and drop another couple in. Say, I'm gonna kill you, boy! I said, Bubba! For crying out loud, Bubba! He said, I got to know whether you canoodle with my beautiful wife. I said, Bubba! And I started running through the mud. The briars and the brambles was tugging at me, ripping away my fine hunting clothes. I was screaming, Bubba, please! But he didn't listen. Ba-blam! That 10-gauge roared again, and a big clump of mud erupted by my foot. I said, oh, no, it'll just be a question of time before Bubba kills me! I was scared. I heaved my guts. I heaved my guts, and Bubba was getting closer all the time, jacking them rounds. Double odd buck into that 10-gauge. Bubba! It roared again. I was getting more tired and more tired. I was thinking, my God, nobody will ever find me out here in the woods. I'll just rot. When suddenly, I went to jump over a log, and Bubba! He caught me square with a full load of 10-gauge double-aught buck. I spun and fell. I was lying there unable to move. And Bubba came closer and closer, ready to administer the coup de grace. When suddenly, a volley of shots erupted. It sounded like World War III. And I looked at Bubba, and he was spinning, blood coming out of him everywhere. I looked over my shoulder, and there was a game warden, a couple of deputies, a few city police, and a SWAT team. It turned out the police helicopter was passing overhead. They saw Bubba chasing me, firing at me. They knew that something evil was going on, and they got there just in time. Well, they loaded me and Bubba into the same ambulance. We were both lying there, making little blood bubbles from our mouths. Bubba was hurt a lot worse than I was, and I kind of eased myself off my little bunk in the ambulance and crawled over to where Bubba lay. I looked down at him. He could see me. I could tell his eyes was just fixing to glaze over and slip him into eternity. So I said, Bubba, can you hear me, Bubba? He shook his head. And just before he died, just before he slipped away, I said, Bubba, your wife was some of the sweetest stuff I ever had.
Well, something kind of funny happened yesterday.
Yeah?
We're driving down to Palatka on Highway 17.
Uh-huh.
We're way down in the country, Grace, a long ways from any service station. All of a sudden, she got to go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
That's the way it is, you know. She got to go.
Them women.
She just got to go.
They can't hold nothing.
Probably 10 miles from the nearest station. She says, I can't wait. I said, well, what you want me to do? Pull over the side of the road? She said, I'd be fine. So I did it, and I seen an old decrepit farmhouse out to the side of the road down on 17 down the road here.
Yes, sir.
And it's all falling apart and everything. Ain't no tractor, cars, or trucks or nothing standing outside, so I figured it's deserted, and so we can go ahead. There's an outhouse right next to it. Go ahead and use it, you know? I kind of had to go myself. I could have waited, you know.
But
you know us guys are. I could have waited until we got to Palatka, but I figured I'd go ahead and get it out of the way, so to speak.
Yeah.
So we pull off, go in the outhouse, and we both sitting there. It was one of them two-seater jobs, you know. Just one of them later ones, one of them modern ones. We sit there at a two-seater job, right in the middle of the thing, I noticed that her coat falls off her back. And falls down in a hole there.
Ugh.
Well, I didn't say nothing about it, you know, because she's crazy about that coat. I just bought it for her birthday and everything.
Uh-huh.
Well, we get finished and everything, and she goes out and gets her a big, long switch-type stick.
Uh-huh.
Comes back in and starts trying to fish that coat out. I said, baby, I said, honey, I know you love that coat and everything. I said, but you ain't going to wear that coat after it's been down in that outhouse like that. She said, oh, hell no, Hoyle, I ain't going to wear it. My lunch is in the pocket.
Big 860.
Is this the world-famous Bob Beasley?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Bob. This is the Grease Man.
How you doing?
Good. I hear tell you're leaving the land of the real man.
I'm afraid I am.
Where are you going?
I'm going over to Greece.
Greece?
Yeah.
What, are you into bar hogging or something, or what?
Hello?
Why are you going to Greece? Now, you tell me you've got a secret passion all these years that's finally coming out.
You got it.
You mean you'd have the Navy send you to Greece so that it would look like it was on assignment, but the real reason you're going there is to do you some bar hogging.
You got it.
I figured it.
We're ready to go.
All right, what's your name again now?
Beasley.
Beasley. All right, what is your rank?
HM1.
HM1. All right. I'm going to send a registered letter to the Greek embassy saying, watch out for your behind. Just watch the teeth. Watch the teeth. here, let me reach over. Turn on the radio here for a little background music.
Sunday is going to be a day you'll never forget at Consumer's Warehouse.
Leave me now, but I thought you were burning with desire.
I am, but I'll on the way over in the car. And on that note, until tomorrow, take it easy. Arrivederci. When you're standing on a wharf and you blow away a dwarf, it's a tragedy. He wasn't a hero. He was just at ground zero. Look at him there with his singed hair. The poor blighter's burned to a crisp. It's a tragedy. When you're flapping your jowls, there's a roar from your bowels. It's a tragedy. And conversation stops while the flippity-plop gross out. Everyone gathered. And you wonder why no one's eating the clam dip. Tragedy. When you're a public speaker and you let out a squeaker, it's a tragedy. When you're talking to the masses and burning gases light up your dairy air like a thousand lightning bugs were there. It's a tragedy. When you're down in zone 3, woe is me, it's a tragedy. And they say, wow, that honky smells like a donkey. You're made fun of by the blue gum buddies you love and respect. Oh, yes, my whole life has been a tragedy. About 10 minutes after 8. Now, what is it you're offering me, baby?
Chili dogs at my house.
Chili dogs at your house? Ooh! You think we could eat them on the Posturepedic?
Huh?
Can we eat them on the Posturepedic?
Yeah, the water bed.
Oh, you got a water bed?
Yeah.
Ooh, you better put out the small craft warnings, baby. We're going to have some turbulence on that water.
Yeah.
Some choppy seas. Yeah. Oh, no, there's an oil slick.
This morning, night after you played that Luckenbach, Texas, by Waylon and Willie a few minutes ago.
That is a record and a half, ain't it?
Can I dedicate that one?
Sure, you want to.
I want to dedicate that to the boys up at Eddie's Gulf, up in Nahunter, Georgia.
Eddie's Gulf and Nahunter. You know, I was in there one time.
Oh, yeah, Eddie's Gulf?
Eddie's Gulf and Nahunter, and I remember, the attendant spilled gas all over the back of my car.
Yeah,
couldn't even find a dipstick. I had to come out and show them where it was.
Yeah.
Damn near slammed my hand in the hood.
Uh-huh.
And didn't even wash the windows.
Well, Grace, we got affirmative action up here in Nahunter, too.
Oh, jeez.
Big 869.
Boyle, please.
W-A-P-E.
Only one runs into little game warden difficulties every now and then. Turn out, he's been fishing, you know, catching fish when nobody else has been catching any fish.
And the game warden was getting a little suspicious, figuring he might have been doing something a little illegal, because all the old-timers that normally come in with a boatload wouldn't catch nothing. And this guy comes back, I mean, the bottom of the boat is just full of flipping fish here. So the game warden decides he'd get in plain clothes, talk to the man, and get him to take him fishing to find out a secret, you see. Yeah. So they get out in the middle of this old lake, and the guy don't break out no poles or nothing. He sits there with a stick of dynamite, lights the fuse, throws it in the water, and ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
The game warden says, you can't do that. The guy gets his foot, takes another stick of dynamite, lights it up, throws it in the water. Another 100 dead fish floating up. Finally, the guy whips out his badge, says, I'm a game warden. Well, the guy with the dynamite don't say nothing. He just lights another stick of dynamite and hands it to the game warden and says, all right, you going to argue or you going to fish? Having a good old...
69 days. Damage for one day or what, huh? All right, then. It's martini time. Damage at long last. I can take off these Grecian formula 16 stain headphones and never the crystal clear liquid that takes me so far away from all my problems and so far away from all my pain. I trust you shall have a joyous and delightful day. Until bright and early tomorrow morning, when once again we shriek anew, I bid you a fond arrivederci.